Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Foot. When it was time to move to America, we left our home undercover. Father slapped me when I stubbed my toe on a jagged stone and let out a yelp. He scolded me that any sound could murder us if the Russian army heard. I do not know how long it took to creep onto the ships. I spent the weeks looking at my swollen toe, its nail black, and the scab was oozing yellow through the cracks of the puce, and I felt the redness moving upwards like lava. It gave me something to look at, while others were bothering with rats, nausea, death. I woke in a hospital bed to hear Mother grumbling that in New York they could have saved it. When he saw my eyes, Father smiled and held my leg like a prize, gripping the stump in his palm. An artificial foot cannot feel the stone or gravel or the cracks of Blackrock Road or Albert Quay. But I knew I now was rooted here, one slow step after another, planted in this city. Good evening. I'm reading from my collection. My name's Simon. I'm reading from a collection, Jewtown. Of all the places I've ever read this collection, this is the place where I tend to not have to explain what Jewtown means, and I'm not some sort of racist individual. But I noticed there were some accents in the room that weren't quite Cork-like, and I should explain that Jewtown is the area around Albert Road in the city, just beyond the bus station. And it has a lovely, interesting history that in the late 19th century, a group of Jewish people fled from the Russian Empire, Lithuania, during the pogroms of the late 19th century, trying to get to America, the Golden Medina, and traveled across the across Europe on steamships. And the story goes that when the ship landed at Cove in Cork, the captain of the ship shouted, "Welcome to Cork," and they thought they heard him saying, "Welcome to New York," and they got off the ship and sort of looked around going, "This doesn't look like America at all." You wouldn't believe that most Jews would actually, Irish Jews would trace their ancestry to this group of Lithuanian Jews and would swear that that story is true. I don't quite believe it, but I think it's a great story nonetheless. As the Jews settled in Cork, they mainly went door to door peddling wares around the county, or working menial jobs in factories, like our next character. This poem is called Creosote. On my knees, like Christians, I'm praying I'll get a break today. There's no lack of chairs, tables, cabinets in this factory churned out for me to stain in the colour Manning shouts at me. Every bit of me, my hair, body, clothes, shoes, pillows, bedsheets are coloured mahogany, walnut, cherry. Rivka knows if I've been painting with maple or ebony, says they all smell different. It doesn't matter what she cooks for dinner, it all tastes of turpentine, and she no longer touches me the way she did before, just jabs at the browns, asking where each one came from. Tomorrow, I'll sweat again until the finish. As I got going for our new friends from Lithuania to Cork City, things got a little easier, and I'm moving forward to a group of teenagers who find themselves on a river walk up the River Lee. I just thought I'd tell a little anecdote, if that was okay. most of you would probably know the River Lee very well, and you know the bridges that go across it, and some of them are mentioned in this poem. But one of them, there is some very famous Jewish people that that came from Cork, David Marcus, who would be responsible for most Irish short stories that have come across since the 1950s, and obviously poets as well. He founded New Irish Writing. But also Gerald Goldberg, who was to be the first Jewish Lord Mayor of Cork. And during Gerald Goldberg's tenure as the mayor, he opened a bridge, and it's called Trinity Bridge, you might have crossed it. But Cork people, being like most Irish people, couldn't call it Trinity Bridge. Because Gerald Goldberg was Jewish, they called it the Passover. My anecdotes are better than the poems, to be honest. Riverwalk. We took to walking along the River Lee, strolling the banks, crossing the bridges. Parnell, Parliament, Southgate, Clarks meant nothing to three teenage boys from Achmijan. We'd stop at Wandersford Quay, grab a glance at the girls in the orphanage. They never looked, but we lingered, soaking up their drippy white skin. In this city, we are the poorest, except for here. But we could see their beauty in the dust and rags until the nuns spied us. And we ran, gushed up Proby's Quay, flowed past all the junctions until we reached the train station. After, we toss pebbles in the South Channel and say the walk was worth the throbbing. Next poem, basically all the with all the research for this collection, there isn't very much out there about the Cork Jewish community, and I relied a lot on census records. And and basically, I suppose census records only give you so much. So this is pretty much all the poems are completely made up from names. I found some great names. There were a lovely Jewish family by the name of Joseph and Mary, which I thought was great. there was a particular family in the 1911 census who had a servant or a house servant. Called Mary Daly, and everybody knows Mary Daly. So if it is, if you think that's this poem is about her, it's not. This one is Mary Daly from the 1911 census, who was not Jewish, and I thought she deserved a place in this collection due time. Mary Daly. Sometimes she shows me how to make the bread, the special one they like on Sabbath. In silence, except for affirmation, or a gentle hand to sway me right. At the sink, I watch the soap soak up the blood from fish and meat, smell the sweetness of their soup, or gaze as gherkins float in brine like goldfish. Until one day, he plucks one out, crunches, winces, nods, and offers one to me. When I get home each week, Mother makes bacon, sausage, pudding. Always asks, are those Jew men treating my daughter right? And somehow I feel betrayal with every bite. Many people might know, I don't know, about Jewish people on the Sabbath. They're not allowed to do a lot of things. They're not allowed to drive, they're not allowed to work. A lot of non-Jewish people caught on to the idea that they could light their fires, because it's something else they can't do before the Sabbath, so they could cook their meals. And this job usually landed to a young boy in the community who would light fires for a penny. And Cork's most famous, these are known as Shabbos Goys, I think Cork's most famous Shabbos Goy was George Hook, the radio presenter. This poem isn't about him, be glad to know.
Yeah.
And this is about another character. The Shabbos Goy. There are ways for a kid to make a few bob round here. I heard you'd get a wage from lighting fires for Jewmen on their Sabbath. When he presses a penny in my hand that first morning, I run so fast down Albert Road, I drop the coin. For a minute, the city stops. And I have to watch it dance across the cobblestones until it tinkers between two grates as if deciding what to do. Landing on a clod of leaves glued with dust and dirt and city grime. Out of reach from my sooty fingers. I stare down, afraid to leave it on its own. Lost something? It's the Jew man passing by. He finds another coin in his pocket for me. An investment, he says. You might remember this one day. I suppose I better do a little rhyme. The Albert Road Kids. We all play together, the Albert Road Kids. Street games like knick-knack and hide-and-seek. Then they got older, called us Kikes, Shylocks, Yids. There was Moisha Magoo and Sydney the Squid and Charlie the Chatterbox who couldn't speak. We all played together, the Albert Road Kids. I was Paddy the Jew because my hair was red. There was Cohen the Golden and Wolfson the Weak. Then they got older, called us Kikes, Shylocks, Yids. My best friend, a goy, we called Terrible Ed, who wouldn't tell lies or curse or give cheek. We all played together, the Alder Road Kids. We crept into Houghton's grand bundles of twigs, shared out the bounty for playtime that week. Then they got older, threw the sticks at us Yids. Our playtime slowed down as we got educated. Our friends learned their lessons in mass every week. We did play together, the Albert Road Kids. Then they got older, called us Kikes, Shylocks, Yids. I suppose as time went on, the Cork Jewish community thrived up until about the 1930s, and there were about 300 Jewish people in the Cork community. As time went on, like most Jewish communities in Ireland, numbers decreased after the Second World War, as people eventually did emigrate and maybe made it to America if that's where they wished to go, but many went to Israel, Britain, and other places to meet other Jewish people. And very sadly, last year, the only synagogue in Cork, South Terrace, closed down. I decided that it was only apt that I would attend the last Friday night service. I suppose the area had been good to me in the 5 years that I've been writing this. I went and self-proclaimed head of the Jewish community, Freddie Rosehill, was there, and I deliberately sat behind him because I really wanted to watch him and see if anything could come about. And luckily for me, a little poem came from it called The Last Sabbath at South Terrace Synagogue. Shipped in from Dublin, the men gathered like beetles around the orange glow of the gas heaters, grumbling as the Sabbath candles were lit. Above them, the women looked down from the crumbling balcony at the ruins, the walls twinkling with dew, the rot chewing the panels, and the blue velvet table covers airbrushed by damp. The men shifted in the pews as their knees stiffened and they mumbled along to the cantor's funereal chants. At the front of the shul was Freddy, his silver crutch rooted to the carpet, bearing the weight of his body, of the synagogue, of 120 years of peddlers, grocers, directors. His face, red with the strain, gave in by the first Kaddish prayer, drooping back into the pew, knowing he was part of the furniture, ready to be moved on. 6 months later, a friend passed away, and yeah, in November. So it was, I suppose, a poignant end to the community. I'm going to read one last poem, if that's okay with you. I suppose I decided that none of the poems in this collection really are about me, except for this one. I decided that I'd go back to Kovno in Lithuania, where my ancestors would have come over in the late 19th century to Cork. My great-grandmother was Esther Morris, and she was a minor playwright around these parts. And I thought I'd go to this city, Kaunas, modern-day Kaunas. And planning my journey, I thought this might be difficult. But luckily, there's direct flights by Ryanair from Dublin to Kaunas, which made my life a little bit easier. But I was there's a kind of a thing about, I don't know if it's the same in all small in all small communities, but it's certainly for Jewish communities. If you ever go to a city where there's Jewish people living, there's usually at least two synagogues, and that's because there's always a fight. In fact, in the very early days of the Cork Jewish community, there were two synagogues, and there's a famous story of them. It's a famous story of them fighting and getting physical on the streets. Which is, anyway, you can read about that somewhere else. But when I got to Kaunas, I was delighted because, of course, there were two synagogues, and they both hated each other. I didn't manage to get into one of the synagogues. I was chased out of the place by someone who I couldn't understand. But the second synagogue I visited, I was met at the door by a gentleman, and this last poem this evening is called The Coral Synagogue, Kaunas. A man in a hat watched my wife take a photograph outside the gate. He was waiting at the door like my dad did after discos, and he smiled as if he knew I was home for the weekend. "You're back," I wanted him to shout as he shook my hand and nodded at my wife, a resigned acceptance. Inside, we spoke of Yiddish, Litvaks, liberal Jews, and he asked me for my name. I know we hoped we'd share a root, a segment, even a vowel. But everyone, Matsavich, Crystal, Lee, what shakes of his head. We compromised on a random surname, the closest we'd get to a family tie, and it was enough for both of us.